Hello everyone, welcome to the Game Engineering Podcast. I'm your host, Łukasz Ściga, and this show is about 3D graphics programming, low-level video game development, where we demystify game engines, rendering pipelines, physics, linear algebra, and all sorts of other obscure parts of game engineering. Sit back and enjoy the show. Let's start with a high-level overview of 3D graphics programming and the differences compared to the usual programming. Imagine the typical console application written in Python, C, or Java. A few lines of code performing some operations and printing the output. This program will be converted into machine code, the set of instructions to perform on your CPU, which stands for Central Processing Unit, and which is commonly known as the processor. Once the operations are done, your instructions will print the result to the standard output, and you, the human, will be able to see it clearly in the console. The most basic example is a Hello World program, which prints, unsurprisingly, Hello World to the standard output. Now, things will look different in graphics programming. First thing to note is that your end goal is to render an image. Second thing is to realize that besides CPU and a monitor, you will interact with GPU, which is in the usual PC, a separate part on your motherboard. Third thing, which is the most horrifying, is that your ability to print to standard output, especially your print debugging technique, is gone as far as GPU is concerned. But let's walk through that slowly. Hello World equivalent in graphics programming is rendering a triangle. It will start with a program talking to the CPU, most often it will be a C++ program. During its execution, you will need to create the data that is supposed to be rendered on the screen. This means creating a bunch of 3D coordinates for three distinct points which will make a triangle. Next, this memory will be passed to a buffer on the GPU. Buffers are a term for the structures capable of holding the memory on the GPU. After getting its hands on the data, the GPU will need some additional help from you before it's capable of rendering an image. You will need to provide shaders, which are the programs that GPU will run for you, and thanks to which it will transform the data and finally render the 2D image on your screen. The process of transforming the data within the GPU is called the rendering pipeline, and it's as fantastic as it is obscure for the newcomers, and I will be covering this in detail throughout the series. Now, an important thing to note is that once GPU takes the wheel, you're no longer capable of print debugging. You no longer get to do this old age debugging technique. This might, or will be, should I say, a source of frustration. Further, in your graphics programming journey, when you will debug the portion of your scene, you might use the equivalent of print debugging in the graphics world, which is rendering a part in a bright color, commonly magenta. However, in general, when you're learning this with some programming experience from elsewhere, keep in mind that you need to develop a thicker skin when it comes to debugging. Lastly, let's address one of the issues that bothered me personally when I started to mess around this. Why do we need to use GPUs at all? It is, after all, a processor just like a CPU is. Why buying and installing a standalone unit on your motherboard, which is, by the way, as of 2023, quite expensive? You might have heard already that GPUs allow for parallelized programs. CPUs do that as well. A standard CPU has 6, 8, or 10 cores, and with hyperthreading, which is a technique to simulate two threads on one core, it is capable of reaching a fair amount of parallelization. However, it is not enough for complicated 3D scenes to be rendered efficiently. Think of CPU as a general processing unit, designed to cover 95% of the use cases. Most of the time, you don't need parallelization. You want a decent performance for a set of sequential tasks that you're performing. That's what CPUs are optimized for. With their three different caches and other features, they focus on giving you the best performance without draining your power too much. However, In nature, there are computational tasks that are compute-intensive but can be highly parallelized. This involves multiplication of matrices, a lot of matrices, as well as doing per-pixel operations, which you tend to have a lot once you consider full HD or 4K screens. More details on these problems will come later. For now, let's settle on this. To create modern, beautiful 3D games that need to be rendered in real time, we need to leverage the features of both the CPU and the GPU. That's it for now. I'm Łukasz Ściga, and I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. Tune in later for more of the Game Engineering Podcast.